Jesus Christ for such a beautiful day. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing through Jesus. Joshua chapter 20 this morning. Joshua chapter 20. We need a refuge. And this morning the title is going to be Christ Our Refuge. Christ Our Refuge. All the Bible is about Jesus Christ. There's pictures in the Old Testament. There's typologies in the Old Testament about salvation. We know that Isaac is a typology of Jesus Christ. Joseph and many, many others. The tabernacle and everything, and all about the tabernacle is about Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to look at a picture of six cities. Six cities of refuge. These six cities of refuge in Joshua chapter 20 is going to tell us about Jesus Christ and how bad that we really need a refuge ourselves. Now, if you've lost here this morning, you badly need a refuge, because you'll find out that there's a danger of blood after you. In the Middle East today, there's still what we call a blood bath. Many people blows themselves up, kills one another, missiles always going off, people shooting somebody in the Middle East. One of the things that we do not realize what's happening and always have been happening for many generations in the Middle East is they have this old law, and that is the avenger of blood. When someone kills somebody close to me, the nearest relative be able to go back and kill that person because they believe and live in the Old Testament. We know that most of the people in the Middle East, Abraham is their father. The Islamic nations, you know that Abraham is their father. You know, and the Jews, Abraham is their father. Also the Christian people today, he is our father through faith in Jesus Christ. But all those people and what Abraham brought, you know, one side goes this way and one side goes that way, but there's a bloodbath that's going on, and it is a religious bloodbath that we really don't understand unless we had all the research to go behind what is happening in the Middle East today. Well, a lot of people think that the Old Testament is about Moses and the New Testament is about Jesus. But friends, I tell you, the whole Bible is about Jesus. Now, a lot of times we say, well, we got four Gospels. That's not correct. We got 66 Gospels. And they're all telling us about Jesus. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for these are they that testify of me." He was talking about the Old Testament. And then you remember when Jesus Christ rose from the grave and walking with the two disciples to Emmaus Road. They got a pretty good ways along, and he says to those, he said, "I show them all the Scripture and things concerning himself." And all the Scriptures at that time, he was talking about the Old Testament. The New Testament had not been written yet. Today we need a city of refuge. These cities of refuge is for the person that have accidentally killed someone. We'll read this in just a moment. Every one of us here this day is guilty of murder, accidentally murder. You say, "I never killed anybody." Oh, yes, you have. Have you been to the cross of Calvary? Have you stood and looked up the cross of Calvary? You know you're the one that drove those nails? You're the one that held the hammer? You're the one that put the spear in his side? You're the one that mashed down the thorn? You say, "No, not me. I wasn't there. That was 2,000 years ago." Your sins and my sins put Jesus Christ to death on the cross because he loved us so much. Sir, ma'am, no matter how good you live today, you are guilty of the greatest penalty in the world, and that is putting to death the Lord Jesus Christ. You are guilty of murder. Jesus Christ was on that cross. The few last words he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He wasn't just talking about the people around the cross that crucified him, but that goes on to the generation and generation today. that I didn't really know when I was lost that I crucified my Savior. I did not understand that that was talking to me. I did not know when someone says I was guilty of murder, I did not understand that. I would never do anything as I read in my Bible what they'd done to Jesus Christ even whenever I was lost. I did not know the day that I was guilty of murder. And guilty of murder, there was a manslayer after me. The nearest kin is what we call sin and death was after me, the manslayer. When I sinned, there was someone running behind me called death. And every time that I took one step, he took two steps, and he was gaining on me. He was gaining on me, and I began to run. I was young. I didn't worry about it a whole lot, but I began to run. And before long, you'll find out the harder you run, the closer it gets to you anyway. And I was looking for some way out of it. I wanted to be healthy where I live long. I want to be a good person where I live long. But none of these things will help because he's going to catch you anyway. You need a refuge. And that refuge is in Jesus Christ. If you're not in Jesus Christ, the avenger of blood is after you, and he will catch you, and that sin and hell is after you today. Very, very, very important. Let's read the first three verses in Joshua chapter 20. And it's going to tell us now about people that could be able to go into these cities. The people that's able to go into these cities. Now, this was after that Joshua had crossed the Jordan River. This was whenever they had been in there for 30, 40 years. They had divided up the land to all the descendants. It's divided up. Canaan land was divided up. Everyone in the tribe got their lot of land except one tribe. That was a tribe of the Levites. The Levites was responsibility for the sacred things of God, for the temple, for the tabernacle, to worship. They was priests. You'll see how this brings you and I into the picture because it says that God has made you and I priests and kings. You are a priesthood of the believer today if you're saved. Now you're responsible for the things of God. Not just this man back in the pulpit, but every one of us that's saved is responsible for the things of God. And we're responsible now for a place that someone has killed someone like the Lord Jesus Christ with their sins, that they'll have some place to run, and that is to Jesus Christ. We need this. So as we look at this, the Levites, they had 48 cities given to them through all the whole place, what we call Palestine, and that great land where the milk and honey flows. Canaan land, 48 cities. No land but the cities. Out of those 48 cities, read it, it's in your Bible. Out of those 48 cities, there were six cities assigned to the whole nation as cities of refuge. These cities of refuge was all around, equally distributed, all around Canaan, as we get in just a moment, or the reason that they was. These six cities was called the cities of refuge. And they was always close. The nature of these cities, the names of these cities, and the nearness of these cities. It's what you need to know today for salvation. Because this is you. This is God's picture to you. The Holy Spirit of God is talking to you about this. Joshua chapter 20 and verse 1. The Lord also spoke unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out you for cities of refuge, whereof I speak unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killed any person unaware and unwittingly, that means accidentally, may flee hither and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Let us pray. Jesus, Father, help me. Lord, it's deeper, the Lord, than what my little knowledge can understand. Father, my ignorance in this, I cannot go any further unless you help me by the Spirit of God. But Father, I must thank you, Lord, it's not me that's speaking this morning, but you is speaking through me and through the words of God. Father, it's not me that does the drawing, it's you. And Father, we know what's going to happen for the far seeing of the servants, that your name is going to be glorified because of you. We thank you, we praise you. Help us to get this understanding. If anyone here this day needs a city of refuge, Father, we pray, God, they may understand they need to run to Jesus. Here today, he's here today. The song we sung, he is here, he is here. The city of refuge is here today. Please don't run away the other way. Father, thank you for the power that's in this church today. For the Holy Spirit that hovers over this church today. And your word is a vehicle of thoughts to our heart today. Thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. These cities, the nature of these cities tells us more about it in verse 7 and 8. But the nature of these cities there in verse 2, it says these cities are cities of refuge. Moses already told him to do this back in the book of Exodus. This is not a thought that come from Joshua. Moses already instructed them what to do when they went into the Canaan land. God told Moses. Moses told the people exactly what to do. If someone kills somebody accidentally, calls it unwittingly, unaware, carelessly, accidentally, maybe a farming accident. You know, a lot of people gets hurt on farms and gets killed on farms accidentally on farming accidents. A very dangerous occupation on farming accidents. Something just happened to go the wrong way. A lot of people get hurt in the building. Construction work. Somebody might drop a hammer. Somebody might drop a tube of four on them. A lot of people gets killed accidentally in a lot of areas and a lot of jobs that we have today. Well, the same way it was back in those days. You know, somebody's axe handle might have flew off the handle and might have hit somebody, might have killed accidentally. They didn't mean to. Well, you see, unaware of this, the avenger of blood, the closest kin to that person, then became the avenger of blood, and they began to go after that person. Now, they didn't have the complicated court system that we have today. It's already been pointed by Moses what to do. The next of kin became the vengeance of blood. Accidentally now, they began to run to the city of refuge when they accidentally kill someone. They began able to run to these places where they could be tucking in. Accidentally. Verse 3 then. Accidentally, unwittingly. Refuge. Now this was not a refuge for cold-blooded premeditated murder. They was not allowed in. The avenger of blood would get to that person. There was no sanctuary, no way to hide. If a person premeditated, killed somebody, weren't accidentally cold-blooded murder, it did not apply to them. Just like this morning, as I'm going to read to you in Hebrew in just a moment. If a person here this day neglects and rejects Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God brings it to your heart that you are lost and you need a Savior and you reject Jesus Christ, there's nowhere for you to run. I'm going to tell you, hell and death is going to catch you. There's no refuge for you to go to ever, ever, ever. On this place is Jesus. As I'm saying as a person, as God brings this to your heart, you sit here today, you don't know why you're here, but God have appointed you here today. By the service of God, you might just come as a whatever the reason might be, but God has appointed you here today that you might hear this word. And you know, if you don't run to Jesus Christ, there is no other place for you to go. The avenger of blood will catch you, and that is sin and death and hell. That's where you headed. There's no way. But this was someone, you know, did not have premeditated murder. Someone accidentally. We're guilty, I said, of someone's death. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We did not know this, but you see, we've done it anyway. Hebrews 6 and 18 tells us that by two immutable, that means unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That hope is in Jesus Christ, a reverential hope that God cannot lie, looking for that blessing hope, our return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul, all through his writings of the New Testament, has a phrase mentioned many times in the writings of Paul, all through the epistles. And that phrase is, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in the city of refuge, in the city of refuge, in Christ, in the city of refuge. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, which none of the prince of this world would knew if they had known it, known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. These six cities now had special roads, six special cities pointed around all in Canaan land where they could get to them real easy. Now these six cities, they had special roads, and these special road was maintained by the Levites. That was their duty. And that time they had road signs, just like we have road signs today, point to destination, where that you're going, city so far, whatever it might be. But their road sign had Miklak on it. That's a Hebrew word there for refuge. All on these roads that's leading to these cities had these signs. Miklak pointing this way. Miklak pointing this way. The city of refuge. Also, they had runners all along the way that nobody had to worry about getting lost. If you will know the directions, there was always runners out there to show you the way, pointing to the city that nobody would ever have to worry about getting lost. Today, that's what I'm doing today. I'm pointing to you, the city of refuge, and that is Jesus Christ. But not only that, we know that the gates was always open, these cities, day and night, 24 hours a day. That means any time that you want to be saved, that you can be saved. The gates was always open. And if you just made it in there for our spiritual lesson today, if you made it in there, you were saved. God has made a way from the danger of sin and hell that by our own willingness that we have sinned today. The avenger of blood is on your trail, as I've already told you. Jesus Christ says, now I'm the way. He's made a way for us to go into that city of refuge, which is in Jesus Christ. I am the truth, the life, and the light, and also the door. We have a road that's been prepared by Jesus Christ himself, the Lord of glory, to run into this place. It's called refuge. Our refuge is available. The signs along the road, as people point the signs to Jesus Christ all along the roads. Now, the roads is pointed this way. The roads must be clean. They kept these roads cleaned. The bridges repaired. All this was just a message. Now, what they done, just like for us to do today, there's two ways to magnify something. There's two ways to magnify something. A microscope takes little things and makes them big. And also a telescope takes things far away and makes them come near. Jesus Christ is not small and he's not far away. But the people to the world today, Jesus Christ is small and he's far away. It's our responsibility as priests to make Jesus Christ near to them and also big to them to understand that they have a refuge in Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ is our refuge. And it's our job as priests to bring people near Jesus Christ and present Jesus Christ as the great God that he is, the God of God, the Lord of lords, and King of kings this day. Today, the avenger of blood, as I said, is on our trail all the time, sin and death, and it's going to catch up. One of these days, it's going to catch up. The premeditated, deliberate murder, they was not allowed in. They could not go to these cities of refuge. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Jot it down if you want to, because this is talking to those people who have rejected. You sitting here this morning, this is to you. If you reject Jesus Christ, there's no other sacrifice. If you reject Jesus Christ and not accept him in your heart today, there's no other place of refuge. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 10:26. For if we sin willfully, that means when I tell you about the Holy Spirit of God, you sit here today and you are lost, you don't know Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and reveals the Son of God to you this day, and you know exactly the truth that God has revealed in your heart, that you are a sinner and you need to be saved today. And I'm going to tell you what, if you reject this, it says, after we have received the knowledge of truth, this is the truth that I'm preaching this hour. If you reject what I'm preaching this hour, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sin. No more. That's all that you can do. But a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour adversary. That's you. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. If they didn't go to these refuges, they died. If they didn't run these, go to these cities. Oh, how much more so a punishment, supposing ye shall he be that's worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and have done despiteful unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belong unto me, I will repay recompense, said the Lord. Again, the Lord shall judge his people. If the people in that day would not run to the city of refuge, they would be put to death. And then it says, how much more people sitting in a congregation like this and hearing the truth would reject the truth in their heart. How much more do you think God is going to do to you? The danger of blood is on your trail today. Today, whenever we sin with our eyes wide open because we already know the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, whenever people walks out of here, if anybody walks out the day lost, you're going to walk out over the blood of Jesus Christ, and there remains no more sacrifice for sin. There's no other way except through Jesus Christ today. Verse 6 in the Joshua 6. And he shall deliver in that, shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation of the judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come to his own city and to his own home, unto the city where he had fled from. If he makes it in there, the city of refuge, accidentally kills somebody, then it tells them what they might be able to do. To start with, he shall dwell in that city. He can stay there. Now, they had a court system. The ones there judged inside that city, he got to tell both sides of the story. They judged whether it was accidental, and they judged him. Now, if they accept it, they say, well, that's the truth. We believe that. That's right. Well, he could stay there then, and the avenger of blood could not never touch him. Now, he could stay there until the high priest died. And while he was there, he was assigned a place to live in that city. And then he was given a trade to work. A trade to work for you and I today. Whenever I fled to Jesus Christ, I was given a place to live. Paul says, in Christ, I live in Christ. We have fled today. You have fled. You have a place to live now in the city of refuge. That is in Jesus Christ. But something else. You have also, just like they did, they give them a job, a work. We have a work to do also ourselves. Paul on the Damascus Road, who art thou, Lord? And then the quick next question he asked, what shall you have me to do? You have been assigned a place to live in Jesus Christ, but you have also been given a workforce, a job in Jesus Christ. To work, as I said, to start with, make them roads clear, to lead people to Jesus Christ in the Lord. And this says that they could stay until the high priest died. Well, the high priest in that city, when he died, they was free then to go back home. The avenger of blood could not get them, but they had to go back home then to their hometown and their own house, and they could live then without the avenger of blood ever messing with them. That was the law of the Jews' law at that time, Leviticus laws. But now for us today, how long can we live in Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ is our high priest, is he not? How long can we live? It says they can live until he dies. Jesus Christ has died once. He rose again. He says, I will live forevermore. I'll never die again. How long can you live in Jesus Christ? Forever and forever and forever and forever. Because he'll never die again. Woo! That ought to make you happy this morning to know that you can live in that city forever and forever and forever and forever. I'm going to tell you the nature of these cities. I'm going to have to hurry now, or I'm going to be him when y'all start singing tonight. Anyway, the names of these cities, very, very, very important. Now, verse 7 and verse 8 tells us about the names of these cities. They appointed Kadesh and Gilgal in Mount Naphtali and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kadesh Barnea I guess that's where you pronounce that, which in Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilgal out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashem out of the tribe of Manasseh. Those are the six cities now was pointed all around so they could run to them. Now the names of these cities is the meaning of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This paints the picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember the names of these. Kadesh. Now Kadesh means Christ our Savior. Kadesh means a place of holiness. A place of holiness. A city there of holiness. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14? It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see God. Without wholeness, you cannot see God. Huh. Well, how many of us are holy today? How many of you, if you live the holy life, that you might be able to stand before God today? Would you please stand up and say, I'm a holy person today, that I've never sinned, that I'm a holy person, I can stand before God? Not a one of us would dare to do that, because we know that all sin comes short of the glory of God. Well, how are we going to see God then if you can't see God without holiness? Jesus has got to give it to you. It's got to be imputed to you. It's got to be given to you, just like righteousness. That you're not righteous in none of yourself. All your righteousness is a filthy rag inside of God. It has to be imputed to you. Wholeness, that's what this word means. Christ our salvation. Holiness by given us by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 tells us, he that had made him to be sin for us, who know no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. He made us this way. He made us righteous because we are in the refuge. In my hand, O price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And that's all you have this morning to go into the city of refuge. You have no price that God would take. You can't be good enough to pay back not one little lie that you ever told, not one little pencil that you ever stole. You don't have nothing in yourself that God would accept. Nothing. Nothing that I have in my hands that I can give God. I'm not holy. I'm not righteous. If anything, I have to have been given to me by Jesus Christ, with the righteous Son of God that do no sin. But you see, he gave that to me. Now I'm a holy person and I'm a righteous person. But oh, not the way I live, not the way I am. I am through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for making me holy and righteous, but not what I am and how I live, but who you are and how you lived and you live through me. Whew. That is a blessing today. Now, the city of refuge made me holy. The second one, Shekel, means of Christ our strength. Shekel means strong shoulders. It means support. You know, whenever in the Bible, I believe it was Luke, whenever one of the sheep was lost, he had 100 sheep, and there's 99 saved sheep. One sheep was lost. It says, you know what? That the shepherd went after that one sheep was lost and found that sheep. And you know how he said he brought him back? He put him upon his shoulders and brought that sheep back. Did you know the watch you're on? Jesus Christ is bringing us on his shoulders today. You're on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. He is our strength. That's what it means, is our strength today, our great strength. There's a poem, I don't know who wrote that thing, Footprints in the Sand, I believe it is, where you see this picture and you see there's two footprints walking behind you, then after a while there's just one. Well, who you reckon that one is? That's Jesus Christ carrying you along. He is our strong support. He is our shoulder. He's the one that shoulders us in our support in life today. Thank you, Lord, for supporting us today. Savior gives us wholeness. He gives us strength, who carries us along the way. Well, you feeling kind of weak this morning? I know I do. You're weak every day. And some of you here today say, well, I like to do all that. I like to run to the city of refuge, but I don't feel that I could really live this Christian life. Well, I got news for whoever you are this morning. God ain't never asked you to live the Christian life. God ain't never asked you to live the Christian life, because it's impossible for anybody to live the Christian life. There's only one person that ever lived the Christian life, and that's Jesus. He died because you couldn't live it in your own strength. He says, let me get in you and live in you, and I'll live my life in you, but you can't live it. You cannot live it. He lives through us. He strengthened us. Hebron, remember that word, Hebron? I probably won't give that to you. Hebron, Christ, our sanctification. Our sanctification. Hebron makes me satisfied. I'm satisfied. Hebron. Remember now. You remember whenever Joshua and Caleb crossed over land, they just got up to the promised land and crossed over, and there was 12 spies, and the honest two had come, brought back an honest report. He said, man, there's grape growing there. There's milk where the milk and honey flows. Well, this was Hebron where they went into. It means fullness. It means fellowship. Our fellowship is with the Lord. Oh, Caleb, you know, in his later years, right after this, says, you know, give me this mountain. The mountain there where the milk and honey flows, where the giants live. About 45 years ago now, he had saw this. His eyes now he wants it because he knew it was there where God wanted him to take this mountain. Bezer, the city of security. Bezer means a stronghold. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Security, salvation. You know what salvation holds on to you? And all the religions of the world, you have to hold on, embrace that religion and hold on to that religion. But you don't hold on to salvation. It holds you. No man can pluck you out of my Father's hands. And it goes a little bit further because you see, you're one of the fingers to start with you in Christ. It holds you. You can't fall from salvation. Over in Hebrews, they say, you know, you fall from salvation. You fall from grace. You never fall from grace. You always fall into grace if you're saved. You fall into grace. You can't fall out. You fall into grace. Oh, I'm going to tell you, Bezer, security. Security. In Arama, Christ our sovereign. It means exalted, high place, Acts 2 and verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and have received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which is now we see him here. High and exalted up. He's seated in the heavenly places. He's dwelling in Beulah land, and we are too, the place of bread. Goshen, Christ, our sanctification, separated from this world. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 says this, wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Separated brings joy to our heart this day. Then I'm going to have to kind of hurry a little bit here this morning. But the nearness of these cities, as I said, geographical, they all the way around, easy to get to. But you see, not only that, it shows a picture of our Lord. You see, it was sung this song, He is here, Jesus, the Lord is near. All who call upon him shall be saved. He's just a prayer away. Did y'all know that? Just a prayer away. If you lost here this morning, he's just a prayer away. Romans 10 and 8 tells us, but what say it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Let me tell you, if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, it says right here, the word is in your mouth and also in your heart. Well, how did it get there? I just preached it there by the word of God. You got the word of God in your mouth and in your heart right now. The problem is, what you going to do with it? What you going to do with that word? Because it says also in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if we shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 10 and 13 also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved today? Are you saved? Someone could be so close today. You got it in your mouth and you got it in your heart. You could be so close to these cities. Now, I'm going to give you an example, if y'all hold with me just a few more moments, that someone died like a fool. They come right into the door of one of these gates called the City of Refuge, right into the gates, and they died. It's in the Bible. I'll tell you, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 32 and verse 33. This is this man. And they buried Abner in Hebron. Remember what Hebron is now, City of Refuge. And the king lifted up his voice and wept. That's King David at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool. Now, Abner was a strong man in King David's army. Asahel was another young man, a little irritating flea in the army, always wanted to pick on Abner. Abner could have squished him if he wanted to any time that he wanted to, but this Asahel kept on picking on him and picking on him and picking on him. He could have killed him anytime he wanted. I don't want to fight with you now. Leave me alone like some bullies at school, you know. Leave me alone. I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to fight with you. He just kept on. Abner and Asahel was at his back. He just kind of pushed his sword back like this, or the spear, and it accidentally went into him, and it killed him. It killed him. Now, Abner, he had killed Asahel, but now Asahel had a brother. He had a brother, Joab. Now, Joab became the avenger of blood. I tell you, now, Abner, he took off running. Now, he made it now to Hebron, city of refuge. Now, he couldn't be bothered inside the city. Abner was after him. Abner got right to the gate of Hebron, and inside the gate, and Joab was there too. Now, here was old Abner there. He was just sitting there at the gate, just sitting kind of leaned up at the gate because he knew that, Joab couldn't come get him. And old Joab was kind of quick thinking. He said, hey, smile on his face. Come here, I want to talk to you about something just outside the gate. Come here, I got something I want to talk to you. I'm smiling nice. I want to talk to you about something. Guess what happened? Read it in the Bible for your own self. Abner walks outside the gate to see what he wanted. Bible says he took his knife under his rib and killed him, and he fell right outside the gate. Died right outside the gate. David said he died as a fool right outside the gate of this city. It's called Hebron, the refuge. Right outside the gate. Today, right outside the gate, right here, today, how many people are going to walk out is not saved today? Isaiah says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins may be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Judah kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. You're very close today. I mean, the city of refuge is right in your mouth. The city of refuge is already in your heart. You're right at the gate. How close? Will you walk on in? And how you do this is by getting up out of your seats and coming forward, profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So yes, I know that I have killed Jesus Christ because I know that I'm a sinner and I want to be saved. And I want to go into the city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. If we come now with a song of invitation, Lord, all comes. All this few minutes is all points down now to just a very few seconds of what the Holy Spirit of God is going to let you do. If you really believe in your heart what I preached, and it is the truth, you accept it any way you want to. Now, you may be a church member here today, and you've never been saved. You know, that's between you and the Lord, because, you see, you need to be saved. You're not in the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood is still on your trail. You can come to all the churches you want to, and I'm going to tell you, this is not the city of refuge. The city of refuge is not a place for us. The city of refuge is a person. They had a place to go to. You got a person to come to today. And I'm going to ask you to do what God has laid on your heart to do. This now, right now, glorify the name of the Lord as we stand and sing.